Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I am so excited that you decided to tune in on this wonderful Monday before our major holiday, one of my favorites. I love birthdays and I love Thanksgiving. Amen. Christmas wears on me, but for a whole nother reason. But nevertheless, Thanksgiving is one of my favorites because we get to be thankful. So I'm thankful that you tuned in on this wonderful night. And then what I'm also thankful for is that I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guest. I call him the real deal because it rhymes with heel. Amen. But nevertheless, we'll get to him in a second. But I want to thank all of you for tuning in. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. Like I said, my name, or did I say my name? But this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change, and our goal is to educate, to empower, and to encourage. And so each night, each Monday night, I should say, we ask that you come on and we give you an encouraging and inspiring word from God on high. And then hopefully the information that we give you is something that's going to inspire you. It may not be a brand new topic, but it is definitely one that I believe God will inspire you and allow you to study a little bit and make whatever changes that he has for you. And praise God, when those changes he reveals to you, be empowered to study and find out more what you need to do so that you can empower someone else. Amen, amen. And so I hope that you get empowered, that you are encouraged, and that you learn something. And then share it with somebody and tell them to tune in next week. But nevertheless, those of you, can you say it? Can we say it all together? How many years? 10 years we've been in this lane, and so I'm so grateful that you decided to hang in here with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 8 years, 10 years. Oh, amen. I'm just grateful that you continue to tune in each week. And then, praise God, you keep me encouraged. You keep me educated and studying topics so that I can be fresh in the word and hear from God. And then, praise God, you empower me to continue to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach the word. So I'm grateful for you. Our greatest praise has to go to, on this level, to Jesse and Tammy Still, because without the Omega Ministry Group, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me. And so I'm so grateful that God blessed me to be introduced to them, and then to be induced to them, and then join their ministry and be part of a wonderful group of people that teach and empower people to be what God has called them to be. And they do that through prayer. And so I'm so grateful that they are awesome examples, and that I'm still connected to them. And so I always want to make sure that I call them out by name. Now, our greatest, greatest praise, our explosive praise, has to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's even those of you that haven't given their life to Christ yet and don't know, he's your Father too. But nevertheless, we always, always, always want to make sure that we give him the highest praise. And so, as you can tell, I'm excited. I'm excited because, praise God, this is an opportunity that the world stops to be thankful. And so we should take advantage of this opportunity, whether it's a pagan holiday or whatever you want to call it. Nevertheless, it's on the calendar. Make use of it. Those of us that don't know how to witness, well, this is a platform for you to do that. And so I'm grateful and I'm thankful that we have a time to really give that honor to God. So I always acknowledge all of you that have tuned in. Play my favorite Get Up and Go song, When Jesus Says Yes, Nobody Says No. And of course, when he says no, nobody can say yes either. But nevertheless, we are all now prepared to go into our lesson. And so we start with a word of prayer before we start, and then I introduce you to my favorite guest. But nevertheless, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for acknowledging that you love us, praise God, and that you spilled it out in your word to let us know how much you care and how much you love us. And Father, we are thankful for that, because we could be insignificant, but praise God, we are significant because you created us in your image. And so because we're created in your image, you have allowed us to have a little piece of your power and authority and glory and love and grace and mercy. All the things that you poured in us, Father, we can feel you. We can live with you, Father, and we know that whatever we do and whatever we touch according to your plan and purpose will succeed and will prosper. So we always want to make sure that we acknowledge that you are the vine and that we're just branches. But as long as we stay connected to you, we can bear fruit, and that fruit will remain. Because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. And so we thank you, Father, in this hour, that you will remove me and allow you to come through. And not only me, Father, my special guest, Father, that we will say and do what is necessary so that we just don't give out information. But we share the wisdom that you placed in our hearts to share on tonight, and that the word will go forth for revelation, because revelation is the information that makes change. And so, Father, we want us to be empowered to change and be more like you. So thank you for the word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, thank you for the blood of Jesus that protects us and keeps us safe. So Father, we love you. We honor, we adore you. If there's any distractions that try to come, Father, we bind it up, Father, and place it in the never ever land, Father, so that we can be fresh to hear a word, an inspiring word from you, whether we're listening tonight or 2 years or 2 months from now, it'll be the same loving word that is necessary and needed. We love you, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, like I said, friends, I'm so excited because I have a special treat for you. And so if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. And I know for certain that my guest is a wonderful child of God. And so I met him many, many years ago. And so I'm so grateful that God has blessed us to be in relationship, to still be friends and still break bread together and still break physical bread and spiritual bread together. And then we're just good friends. And so I'm grateful that he had enough time to come onto the broadcast on tonight and to share an inspiring word. Today we're going to talk about why we should be thankful in every occasion. And so I would give his long list of acronyms and expository, but you know, when you hear from him, you know he can share a word because he has several words, and he's always been inspiring to me. So, Dr. Hill, the real deal, Dr. Hill, are you with us tonight?
Yes, yes, yes. Praise God for my blessings, Flo. It's thankful to be here. Thankful to be still in the land of the living, and I thank God for gracing our lives and for crossing our paths. And we thank God for you, Dr. Killings, and you and your husband and beautiful family, and for 10 years doing the Lord's work in this vineyard through the Blog Talk radio ministry. And praise God for Jesse and Tammy Store and for everybody connected with Omega Ministry Group, and for all who have listened and all who are listening tonight, and all who will listen to in the future with the various platforms that we integrate with and interact with by way of technology too as well. So much to thank God for, to be thankful for in this midst of what the world categorizes or classifies as the holiday season. But actually, we know that as believers, that we should be thankful to God always and at all times, because if we look back over the litany list of our lives, that we all have many, many, many things that we can thank, that we should thank God for each and every day. So we just thank God. We thank him for him just being God, and him, and because he's God alone, and he's a sovereign God, and above him there is no other. And so that alone within itself is cause for the believer to continually give God thanks. Praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, like I said, I love that you are always full of words. And I have to write down some of the words you say, and then I go back and look them up. I'm like, oh, amen, add this to my list. But nevertheless, I like that you brought up the Thanksgiving holiday. And, you know, of course, this week, and many of us get together and eat and fellowship. But I remember when I was growing up, Thanksgiving, you know, kind of led us into the, you know, Christmas, and so they called it the holiday season. And how, just, you know, kind of looking around and paying attention, how somehow Halloween has snuck in that time when we do our little cheer. Well, one of the things that I want to talk to you about today is how baffling it is, to me at least, that we get so caught up with the giving of the holiday season, and we forget that that people need help all year round. But we get so cheerful, and we get so excited to give, and we have, you know, gift givers and all that on our hearts and our minds. But when we give our hearts and give our lives to Christ, and kind of, you said that in the beginning, that we should be grateful that, you know, we have an opportunity to even know God and have a relationship with him. Oh, you know, if we do understand our role as Christians, as kingdom builders, why do you think, well, I don't know if you can't speak for everybody, but you being a counselor and have been a counselor for many years, that doesn't click for everybody. We do the food drives for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but then in March and in May and July and August, you know, the same people still need to eat. Why we just select this holiday part where we get the little bug to give and be nice? What do you think that derived from, or why people seem to turn off after New Year's?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great question that you ask, Apostle Killings, and in the answering of the question, that we have to look at the complexity and then the contrast of you know what it is that surrounds all of that in terms of the question that you posed is in terms of, you know, why do people, especially in the Western Hemisphere in America, find themselves having an attitude of gratitude towards the end of the year, and then throughout the rest of the year, that it seems as if though there's all about me, myself, and I, and the answer is found in a variety of things that we can point to, but for the sake of time that the Lord has allotted us for tonight's broadcast, to just unpack, you know, the question that you posed, is that there are a lot of people that are in the world today, especially in America, that, as Scripture says, that they're people that have a form of godliness, but then they deny the power thereof. And Scripture tells us that Paul admonishes his son Timothy in the ministry that you would see these type of things develop in the attitude and behavior and the characteristics of people in the last days, in the days that we're actually living in, that Paul was talking to Timothy, that would come to pass. So, you know, from that standpoint, we see people who have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof, and thinking that that some kind of way that a good deed will give them some type of penitence or some type of credibility in terms of their standing with God and then their standing with humanity too, as well. And then there are a lot of people that can do things that, you know, on the surface seem like kind acts or gestures or what have you, but then have a different motive behind that good deed that they may do or express or what have you like that. You know, from a financial standpoint, corporations all across the world, you know, look to be able to close their books towards the end of the year and to be able to, you know, do things that can obviously make them profit as they go into the first quarter or forecasting the first quarter of the next physical year, next calendar year that's coming up as it relates to 2023 and beyond. And so looking at the fact that if they, you know, make these charitable contributions or donations or what have you like that, that, you know, that will help them to gain an edge on their competition in terms of market share, in terms of brand likeness and awareness and visibility and those kind of things too as well, that will be able to set themselves up in a position to be able to make more in profits that they may have made in this particular current calendar year or fiscal year or quarter coming up too as well. And then you have individuals that can do things that seems to be good deeds or acts of service just based out of tradition too as well. And seeing that, you know, that maybe that was something that may have been a tradition in their family, a tradition that they may have grown up around or in the community that they may have come from, in their culture as a particular group or origin of people too as well. And that they may do that because of the fact that it seems right, it looks right, or it may feel good or give them a good feeling on the inside or what have you like that. And then they have never been exposed to the fact that, you know, that you can do a good act, a good deed or a good act of service. That's all fine and well, but then you have to be able to examine the condition of your heart and to understand that that is good in and within itself, but there's so much more to life than that too as well. For example, the Bible, Jesus has this counseling session with this young man. The scripture does not give us the age of this young man, but it just describes him. It didn't even give his name, which is interesting too in and within itself. But the Bible describes in this parable that Jesus is talking about, it describes this young man as a rich young ruler. So we know that this man had some means and access to be able to money and material things and probably had some influence within the community that he came from. And he has this conversation with Jesus where he says he wants to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, you know, tells him, you know, that far as, you know, this is what's going to be required. And so he tells Jesus that he's kept, you know, all the commandments, which at the time was the law of Moses, that he has kept those commandments and from his birth, and he has done those things and everything like that too as well. And so Jesus tells him, you know, well, that's fine, that's good, but then there's this one other thing that you have to do if you really truly want to be my disciple, one of my disciples. He tells him to go and sell all you have and give it to the poor, and then you can come back and be my disciple. And you would think that the next verse we would read would say that the young man went and did that, and then he became a disciple, and we hear about, you know, the things that he was able that he was able to do in terms of what he was able to glean and gain from following Jesus Christ. But then Scripture doesn't say that. It says that he turned his head, he dropped his head and turned away and was sorrowful because of the fact that he had great means too as well. So what am I saying? I'm saying that there are a lot of people that may want to give something to get something, but what God is requiring of us is that wants us to be able to give far more than a turkey on Thanksgiving, or, you know, clothes to the homeless, or putting a roof over someone's head that is in need, or those kind of things, or, you know, toys for Christmas and those things too as well, that he wants us to give him our whole selves to him too as well, which is oftentimes a price that many, many people, the truth be told, are not willing to pay.
Amen, amen. I love that. And so just, you know, because I love taking notes. So I like that. The reason why some people get caught up is because they're trying to do good deeds. And then they have sometimes the wrong motive when they do their kind acts of giving. And a lot of times it could be because they're thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to and looking for gratitude for themselves versus doing it out of the kindness, you know, our motivation by God. And then I like how you did the spin on corporations. I didn't even think about it that way. From that standpoint, how they are looking for a tax shelter or looking for profit and how they can benefit giving just during those quote-unquote holiday celebrations, how it makes them look good because it gives them the praise, I guess you will, for the community to build more advertising and exposure for people to celebrate and shop with and celebrate them. And then I like that you said out of tradition. And I think that's the part that kind of leads into my next question, because we do a lot of things out of tradition. You know, most of us are getting together and cleaning our houses because we know family's coming and we got to have a turkey, we got to have a ham, we got to have, you know, the macaroni and cheese, black eyed peas, all those things, because we do those things out of tradition. And even in that can be done what you said too, giving to get. What am I looking forward to getting by having people come to my house? Am I decking it out so that I can have people talk about how cool my house is? I mean, there's just the wrong motive in some cases. But then on the flip side, there are people that really care about the people in the community and want to give and give on a regular basis. But my question to you in that is, do you believe that if we talked more about, because the scripture says that we're supposed to be thankful in all occasions, so not just because it's Thanksgiving, because it's Christmas, it's a holiday, but we should give and be thankful for everything. Do you think that some of that is because of the lack of teaching, and not necessarily just church, but just in general, because we're foot soldiers? And so I've even learned that it's many times we've been looking, and I think in our minds too, that there's a lot of places you can get the word. It doesn't necessarily have to be the church, although we still want folks to go to church. But nevertheless, I don't want to just blame it all in the church, because we have responsibilities to those of us that have given our life to Christ. Is it that we're not teaching people properly about giving? Do you think that could be also a reason that prevents people from giving at all times and even just being thankful for what they have? Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. You know, teaching and being taught properly is very, very important as it relates to the aspect of you moving along in life with regards to being a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ, because, you know, scripture tells us in all of our getting to get understanding and knowing that wisdom is the principal thing, so that you can have a lot of great information. You mentioned that in your prayer, that we just don't give information, information is good on the surface, but you have to have application with that information. And then as a believer, we have to have not only the information, not only the application, because, you know, people in the world got that. You can Google that. But then we have to have inspiration too as well, so that we can be able to make a divine difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others too as well. So teaching is so very important, what you're being taught, who's teaching you, and then in terms of as it relates to are you living out those things that you're being taught to as well as it relates to your lifestyle, your character, your conduct, and your communication to also. But when it comes to giving, scripture says, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, that we should I share with people often that that we should be seen giving and not giving to be seen, because you know Jesus talks about the whole aspect of the attitude of the heart when he's having these conversations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the New Testament. And, you know, they're broadcasting or putting on display or wanting to have a highlight reel of the things that they're doing as it relates to their giving. But then there's a place in scripture where it talks about this individual gives out of the last that they have, and they did it with sincerity of heart, and Jesus, you know, tells them that the gift of that person that was less in monetary value had more speaking power than the person who gave that gift, who gave those gifts that were higher in monetary value too as well. And so I want to lift this scripture up when it talks about this whole aspect of being thankful, and it relates into the relates back to the question. 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells the church at Thessalonica in his first letter that he writes to them. He closes out the first letter he writes to them in the 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always. Pray constantly," talk about in terms of, you know, as far as being teaching, "rejoice, then pray." Then he says, "Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so when we look at that, and he says, "Don't stifle the spirit, don't despise prophecy, but test all things, hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil." And yes, there has to be proper teaching with regards to giving. And when we talk about giving, too often the times in the four walls of the church or in the religious community, we frame giving from the aspect of speaking primarily about money. And it's nothing wrong with money or having money or what have you like that, because money within itself at face value is neither good or bad, but in terms of what is it that you do with that too as well. And so the dichotomy that comes about when we're talking about giving from the framework of just giving the application of the implication as it relates to money is that you don't teach a individual or a group of people the whole aspect of the whole premise as it relates to giving and what it means to be a giver, because we give of our time, of our talent, of our treasure, in so many different ways that we give outside of and inclusive of as it relates to money too as well. And so when we put that under a microscope, oftentimes churches are speaking or terming, phrasing about giving from a monetary standpoint is because of the fact that there are many churches that have not been good stewards over what it is that God has blessed them with too as well. With regards to the handling of, you know, the church's finances, In terms of if there's compensation for the pastor, for you know, staff people that are on church, those kind of things, as far as, you know, owning property, being investors, and those kind of things too as well. And what's interesting about that is that you can be in a church setting where of a majority black congregation, and then you can be in a church setting of a majority white congregation, and when you get information about teaching, when you get teaching, when information is given regarding teaching on giving, that it comes out oftentimes in two different ways too as well. And so oftentimes you can see a church that can sometimes be predominantly white speak about giving and the whole aspect of being a giver, and not just limited to money too as well. And it's oftentimes because of the fact that they have been good stewards over what it is that God has entrusted them with, and that particular congregation is not living, so to speak, from Sunday to Sunday, like an individual or individuals can live paycheck to paycheck. And then you can have, on the other hand, where a congregation's majority black, and it doesn't happen in all cases, but in some cases, that they have not been, you know, they teach about giving primarily from the money aspect, and then it feels as if though it comes across not as received information, but it comes about, or it comes across as, you know, planned deception or usury from the individuals that are receiving or getting that information too as well. And then it causes them that if there's deception that's put out in terms of what is injected, then, you know, what is injected into a person at some point in time is going to come out, and then it just causes a chain reaction of misinformation on top of misinformation too as well. And you never really get to the true meaning of what it means to give with the right motive, give with the right intent, and then give from the pureness and the genuineness of your heart. And then give with the expectation of not receiving anything in return.
Amen. I got a whole bunch of points for this, but the one that I love the most, seen giving, but given to be seen. You need to be seen, I'm sorry. You need to be seen giving, not giving to be seen. I love that because it does go back to your character, on how your motive, that's what I was looking for, the motive, like you said before. If you're giving not to just giving out of the goodness of your heart, God sees what we're doing. And so you even said that God sees the sacrifice. And sometimes we get caught up because we think it's just about money, but it's not always about money. It can be about time. It can be, you know, of yourself. There's so many other ways, and I like how you said that it could be diversified. But the other thing is being a good steward. And I think, like you said, some of the training, and I like being able, because God has blessed me to be able to go to different types of churches, Lutheran, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, and a couple others. Everybody does things a little different, and seeing the reality that everything doesn't always mean the same thing depending on, you know, where you're getting your lessons. So it's good to diversify your lessons. But the most important thing that I think I love about that particular answer was that you said information, application, inspiration, and implication. I love that because one of the things that I learned when we used to go to church together was that a lot of times we know that smoking is not good for you. That's information. But the revelation comes from, okay, I need to put these cigarettes down and stop smoking. That's when you make the necessary change, and that goes with the application. And then you can be inspired to help others, because you can tell people what God has done for you to deliver you from different things. So your information, application, inspiration, of course, goes with the revelation. But then I like the implication. And the implication, I thought, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So I looked the word up, and it says the effect of an action or decision will have something to do with your future. And so if I take what I'm learning and apply it, then others will not only, I will do the action, but others will see the effects of that decision or that action. So I appreciate how you've highlighted and made that come to a better understanding that it is best that we know the purpose of why we're given, and then to do it because we know that God is watching and he knows whether we're being good stewards over what he's given. Now, my next question, and it's so unfortunate that it seems like this hour goes by so fast. So I got a couple questions I want to ask you this. But as a counselor, like I said, you've been a counselor for many years, and how this holiday, I think sometimes we forget to be thankful for what we have because we're looking for something else. My daughter has already given me her Christmas list, and I told her to go back and write a list of what she's already thankful for. We forget. And so I asked my students this week or this last past week to, I gave them an assignment. Start thinking of the things that we take for granted and write that down. And then have a conversation at the table, dinner table, when your family's together. Instead of everybody saying what I'm thankful for this and I'm thankful for that. What are you thankful for that you take for granted? Like thanking God for having clean, fresh air. Or when you sit down, the chair holds you up, or you go into your car, going to the store, the car actually cranks up and you actually make it to your destination and make it back home. Or that when comes that, you know, it doesn't take your power out, or that you've had the opportunity to go to school and be able to pay for it and come out debt free. I mean, there's so many things that we take for granted, but I think sometimes a lot of that ties into, because we don't think about those extra things, why so many people are depressed and sad during this holiday season. So I know that, you know, a lot of people come to see you and, you know, they share the depression, the hurt and sadness, and even the stigmas that go with having and not having. How do you counsel if somebody is listening to understand why it's important not to always be focusing on the new things we or the things we want, and we get to be thankful for just that, but how, and thankful for all things and all occasions goes for the things that we don't think about. How do you convey that to the clients that you see?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, 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 great, great, great question, great question. And so I'll start my answer with lifting up this particular passage of scripture that jumps out and that Holy Spirit led me to as I was preparing share on tonight. In the 100th division of Psalms, the psalmist write, shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs, acknowledge that Yahweh is God, he made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for Yahweh is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Well, we could spend another hour just unpacking those five verses right there in the 100th division of Psalms. What's interesting, Dr. Killings, is that, you know, the word thankful or the expression of thankfulness is used over 71 times in the New Testament, from Matthew to the book of Revelation. And then if we start counting the number of times that we see it in the Old Testament, then we would find, you know, that this word thankfulness, being thankful, in essence, being grateful, something else we could insert for all the great things that God is doing, has done, will continue to do for who he is, what he represents in and through our lives, from the rocking of the cradle to this very age, that he says that he would be with us always, low into the end of the earth. And then, you know, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we see that, you know, 71 times in the New Testament, numerous times in the Old Testament too as well. And then we look at where we are here in 2022, that we live in a society of instant gratification. Someone did a study a few years back, and it stated that we get more information and news in one day than our grandparents or great-grandparents in the 40s and 50s that they got in a whole month. And now there's on a lot of our cell phones that you can get a what they call a news feed from various apps or companies or what have you like that. And the interesting thing about those feeds is that those feeds or news feeds or what have you, they update, you know, not by the day, not by the week, by the month, but they update by the seconds, that every 30 seconds or so, you know, so something that's breaking in news and reports and stories or those kind of things too as well. So I'm saying that to say this is that we are hindered in a society that thrives and feeds off of instant gratification, or what have you done for me lately, as one song writer put it, or what are you going to do for me next too as well. And the next, my next has to be bigger and better than my now. And my now has to be much better than what it was in the past too as well. So we live in a society in terms of instant gratification. Everybody's looking for the new, the next thing, the biggest, the baddest, the best, the fastest, the cutest, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. And it leaves virtually no room to be satisfied for the things that I have. So, you know, you never get to the individual that's caught in that can never get to the point where the Apostle Paul says, in all things I've learned to be content. So if you don't learn that whole aspect of contentment, then it is so easily for you to bypass, as you stated, to be thankful for those things that we so oftentimes, you know, take for granted. You know, and Jesus points that out in the parables, in the Beatitudes, in the book of Matthew, when he talks about the fact that, you know, he tells, he is saying to humanity, the greatest of all of God's creation, Jesus is saying pointedly to us as human beings, don't worry about your life or take no thought for tomorrow. But tomorrow, you know, tomorrow's already covered and everything like that. He already has that handle. He's way ahead of you. And then he talks about the fact of how God looks out, you know, for the birds and the lilies of the field, you know, and they don't go out and, you know, worry and complain and fussing and cussing and all the other kind of stuff that we do in our human vernacular. You know, if things are not going well or things are not going the way we would like them to, and all those other kind of things too as well, we don't have those things, you know, that we feel that we may need. That he says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, and then his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you too as well. And then the other aspect of that we have is that we live in a society that runs parallel to what we see in sports, where we see, you know, competition between two teams or two individuals, two as well, or two different countries in the Olympics, whether it's Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics, or what have you like that, two as well, competing to get that gold medal, that top prize, you know, to be the top dog or what have you like that, to get the biggest trophy and all those other kind of things too as well. And so because of the fact that and our human capacity that we can feed or thrive so much off of competition, that we have, you know, literally created a race, not on a track or not on a field, but we've created races between individuals and between families and communities too as well, and cultures, in terms of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, as the phrase goes, and, you know, trying to, you know, outdo one another and all those other kind of things too as well, and not being thankful and grateful to God for everything, as Scripture says, you know, for everything in all things, and then at all times too as well, because there's so much to be thankful to God for. And if we realize that, you can take the worst day that you're having in your life, and there's someone else in the world of the billions of people that are on the planet Earth today, that would trade places with you or would consider what you may call bad, that they would find some good in it too as well, and have reason to be able to be grateful and to be thankful to God too as well. So we have to move beyond just a phrase, just coining a thought, or it being a hashtag or something on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker and all those other kind of things too as well. But this whole aspect that we're talking about, being thankful, it actually has to embody, you know, who we are and what we're about, and to be able to allow that to be the premise of how we look out at life from the outside, and then how we view our lives from the inside too as well.
Wow. I love, 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 love. I like hearing your voice anyway. So strong and distinct. But I love, and that example that you gave for this question was instant gratification, and how we have to remember that we can't get caught up with our next being better than the now. And the now has to be bigger or greater than the past. We have to be content for where we are and what we have. I love, love, love that. To check the gratification, or even self-gratification for that matter. But nevertheless, we are out of time. But I do thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us why it's important for us to be thankful in all occasions, and why we have to get the information to make sure that we do the application and allow the inspiration to help us with our implication. And so you have always been a dear friend, and I appreciate that. And so I want to tell you up front that I am thankful that God allowed our paths to cross, and that you have parted so much wisdom to me and helped me see things when I didn't quite see them over the years. And so I'm grateful for your friendship. I'm grateful for your call and your assignment, and that you're obedient to that. And so I wanted to make sure I said that publicly to you. And thank you for being on the broadcast. So now, as I said often, that we're never out of talk, especially those of us that love the Lord, but we are out of time. And so if you could just give us a quick, brief summary for whatever inspires you to say for a minute, and then we'll have to have you back on another time. But what inspiring words would you like to share with the audience as we leave?
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for you, Dr. Killings, and all that. You represent in the lives of many, many people, and you're loved by many, many people, and just in your life has just been a living testimony that just speaks volumes, far beyond the words and the smiles and the happiness and all those other wonderful attributes that God has placed inside of you that you use on a daily basis to lift people up. And you inspire so many people, even when you may not even know it too as well. But I would say in closing to everyone who's listening is in this season, beloved of God, do not let the devil steal your joy. The joy that the Lord has given to you, no one or nothing can take it away. Be thankful to God. Don't base your thankfulness on what you have or do not have on your table on Thanksgiving Day or have under a tree or in your hand on Christmas Day or any of that. But to know that it's much, much more to life than just those things. Those things come and go. Food gets hot, then it gets cold. Gifts are shiny and new, and then they can get old and worn or torn or broken, you know, before you know it too as well. But the thankfulness and having a attitude of gratitude and a heart of thankfulness far outweighs any of those things. And if you need to talk to someone, reach out. Don't hold it in. That God didn't create us to hold things inside, even from our physical makeup. And that if you know of someone who needs help, to definitely, you know, get them the help that they need and to be prayerful with them and to walk with them and to tell them that, you know, seeking wise and godly counsel is not a stigma. Doesn't mean anything wrong that's wrong with them. Doesn't mean they're crazy or anything like that. It just means that they're choosing to put a priority on investing in making their lives better and making a difference in the lives of those that they care about too as well. And the number, if you know of anyone who's in need or maybe depressed or feeling suicidal, because the number of suicide attempts, unfortunately, and actual suicides and cases of depression go up this time of year. That hotline number is 988 that you can dial from any cell phone or landline phone to as well. We are praying and decreeing and declaring that you know that there is life, Zoe, that God has promised to give you life and not death, a future, and a hope, too, as well. So know that God loves you, we love you, and there's so much more that God has in store for you.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Real Deal Hill, and for all your words of encouragement and enlightenment. Well, saints, it's time for us to go. So I pray that you got a blessing from this ministry, empowered to change what we encourage, educate, and talk to the Lord God. Have a wonderful evening. Be blessed. For those of you that dialed in, I'll play my grandmother's song because I always close the song out, the broadcast out for her. Every praise belongs to God because it does. And so I'm sure she's listening because she's my number one fan, but I always close the song out with every praise belongs to God. Thanks again to all of you that tuned in on tonight and to Dr. Hill. We pray that we will all be thankful for all things and that we will remember that it's, Jesus is the reason for every day, not just the season, but every day. So make sure that you always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers.
Every praise
to our God.
praise.
Say every praise.
It's to our God.
Y'all know how we do it. Take it up.
Every praise.
It's to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord.